Thanks for tuning in to What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by new panelist Renee Denton, coming from the upstate of South Carolina, from Tree of Life Marketing and Karma, Chicks Advocating Regional Musicians and Artists. Also veteran panelists Carol Rifkin and Fred Mills. Today, we're jumping into a topic on the new normal, what we call the new set of activities that has become normal for artists and people in music to perform. You know, time was that all you had to do was to, say, get a record contract, go on the road and tour, and those were two of the biggest things you ever had to do as a performing artist. Now that list has increased to some couple of dozen items.
Boy, that's for sure, and that's kind of a recurring theme here for What It Is, I believe, in some of the segments we've done in the past. To me, it seems like things are moving so fast in the music industry, it's almost like the target keeps being moved, and not just moved back, it keeps being moved all over the field in different places, and the artists are having to fire their guns or their arrows in different directions, sometimes in multiple directions all at the same time. In the past, you know, an artist would woodshed, pay some dues, learn the craft, really practice and get a real professional grounding, and then maybe get a record contract in a few years if they're really good and really diligent. Nowadays, artists rely on this quick buzz thing. They're essentially woodshedding via marketing. In the past, a record deal would be about development and growing the artist as a potential brand. Nowadays, the record deal is about striking while the buzz is hot, and if it doesn't hit, then you just go on to the next thing. In the past, artists would think in terms of zeroing in on a niche or a genre to create an image or reputation that's going to follow them, and people know what they're getting. Nowadays, artists want to be going 10 directions all at once, multitasking, playing in four or five bands all at the same time. In the past, label muscle and perhaps a fan club and some radio support is how an artist would get would break. Nowadays, the artist is expected to exploit the blogs, do Twitter, Facebook, social media marketing, and essentially do all that stuff for themselves. And that's what we sort of are getting at here with the new normal. It's all this stuff that people didn't even conceive of years ago or would have seemed exotic or even esoteric now is what artists, you know, kind of like almost do reflexively, and it's a weird time.
Well, it's a whole different world in terms of communication too. You know, it was revolutionary when everybody did MySpace, but you know, that's pretty passé these days. The main tool seems to be you have to have a personal website, and Facebook is a really big deal in my musical world anyway. The events and followers and what's going on, just the whole, a lot of people tweet, you know, that's a choice. You get down to how am I going to use my time? Everybody's recording on their laptop in their living room. You know, everybody can make a demo. There's just so much going on. But in the end, what I see is someone in the industry, a buzz can only take you so far. No, there still is, in the end, the band has to be some good. I mean, and what I'm seeing are these huge generated buzzes where there's an online publicist promoting them. They're on Facebook. They've got friends. You'd think they were like the hottest band in the world. And maybe they're, you know, they're the new put together band. They're go there. And in 6 months, you go and see them in concert and you say, well, that's interesting. They don't relate to the audience. They don't seem like they've played together. I'm so disappointed. And they don't make the grade. So in the end, I think the new normal is a lot about work in the system. But in the end, you still have to have something to work.
So some of the old rules should still apply.
Absolutely. Sure. It's a really interesting mix in which you pick and choose, you know, what your weapons are in terms of reaching the audience and marketing and all that.
And I think people having phones, high-tech phones, has made a big change. The band is going to get videotaped by somebody who's going to record. Then they're going to post it on YouTube. They're going to post it on Facebook, whether the band likes it or not. And they also have to deal with that.
This goes beyond just the performing artist. It goes for everybody involved with music. So for radio stations, the new normal is to do things like have a webcam of your studio. Or for, say, for example, here at WNCW, is to have more YouTubes and more professional video of our live Studio B sessions, for example.
We're going to have a webcam of the What It Is crew expounding and extrapolating and pontificating very soon, right, Joe?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But then,
that'd be a pretty funny webcam.
But then a lot of stations are doing things like they're having, say, their playlists online where you can buy those tracks immediately, and the station might get a little kickback from that, and so on and so forth. Labels and things, they're also looking for all sorts of new ways to make partnerships in different areas. You know, one other thought as far as what artists are gunning for, you know, it's not necessarily just getting in TV and commercials anymore. It's like, get yourself in a video game. That's some of the reality cash flow.
All right, well, let's bring it down to the bottom line then, guys. I mean, the new normal, in one sense, is the old normal. It's all about money. And since the traditional avenues of revenue, i.e. record sales, are in the dumpster, the monetization factor has to come from all these other areas. And with digital being the way to go, people are having to exploit those avenues just to get paid, whereas, you know, in years past, they hopefully would get an advance from a label or later on some royalties, and that doesn't happen anymore.
Well, gone are the days when you can just show up and play. You've definitely got to be out there promoting yourself, or you have to have someone that's promoting you very well, and all these different avenues and all cross promotions.
I think a lot of bands haven't quite caught on to that yet either. Just because you get a job, your job doesn't end there. You're also your own marketing and PR firm and have to work that for each and every gig. And in these economic times, the promoters are expecting that too. And I think that's part of their decision-making process with a band. If you have a band that's really good here and isn't going to do any work, and you have a band here that's also really good, but they'll get out there and market themselves to their friends, they're going to go with the people who might bring the crowd, you know, Untold is Unsold and all that, in the music industry. But there's a lot of stuff going on too, where if you don't know how to do it, too bad. You know, Sonic Bids, there are festivals where if you don't have a Sonic Bids account, and some of them are even like governmental stuff with Smithsonian, whatever, you get on there, if you don't, it's like, oh, okay, well, if you want to mail us one, all right, but we really want you to be on Sonic Bids, which is an online thing. And the amount of computer stuff that bands are juggling is pretty amazing. But it really is helpful. Joe, going back to radio, one of the most amazing things I see is the WNCW Facebook site. I love that the WNCW Facebook site comes on, and so do fans, because they're in the midst of all your social networking, and a lot of self-promotion is, oh, wait a minute, this guy just came on, and he said this, I think I want to watch him, or I think I want to write on there what song I want to hear. And you're way more likely to get it played.
Now, there's a great irony with all of this hyper-connectivity that we've got these days. And it's wonderful to be able to do things like have these conversations with thousands of people at any given moment. But what's funny is when you look back in time, you had a greater likelihood of an artist getting behind, say, the hype machine, blowing up quickly and being able to stick than you do nowadays. Nowadays, you can blow up and get all the hype, but it seems that very often that your likelihood of having any staying power is reduced greatly by going that route. Rather, if you come up and do everything in sort of the new normal way of going about things, you're doing so many more steps and you might have a much slower maturation, but you might also have that long career.
That's a very sensual way to describe it, Joe. It reminds me of the difference between foreplay and then just kind of wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Fred.
But the music industry, in a sense, is like that. Years ago, it was more like extended foreplay with the audience and with the listenership, and an artist actually had the luxury of taking the time to almost become intimate, to extend the metaphor somewhat haphazardly with his audience. And nowadays, it's pretty much like a one-night stand. You get there, and then, you know, a few nights later, it's the next artist that the fans are latching on to. But one thing I'm actually hearing is almost like everything old is new again, because some of these things we're talking about really are just kind of technological twists on the old means of doing business. Carol, you mentioned that it doesn't really amount to a hill of beans unless the person actually has the chops to play.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that arguably is what I would come back to, the whole not staying power. One of the things I think is going on is there's a lot of really computer literate people, and maybe their band's not so good. And in the past, they would have waited till their band got the chops and got some stage experience. Instead, they know how to use the computer so well that they're sending out stuff that's not good. And I think that there's more people in the mix, maybe more people who wouldn't have been there before, so they don't have sticking power. But it is true, though, that there are people who are sticking. I mean, look at the Ava Brothers. Their rise from obscure alternative music to, I don't think they're going anywhere. I think they're going to be around for a while. So I think one of the problems, and one reason so many bands maybe aren't sticking, and it seems so sunny, is that a lot of bands are not as good as they should be, but they're computer literate.
Well, you know, years ago I interviewed Little Steven of Little Steven's Underground Garage and also Springsteen's band, Steve Van Zandt. And he talked about, I asked him what was one of the main things that is missing from the current contemporary scene. And this is something I've actually heard echoes from him in other formats, even in some essays he's written, is that the bands simply did not give themselves enough time to develop.
Yes.
You know, like I said at the outset, woodshedding, practicing, learning songcraft, talking to other older musicians, and not just automatically assume that, you know, any monkey with a laptop can get out there and put together a few songs with GarageBand program or something.
Stage experience. I mean, it's all about stage experience to me. You see these bands that have these amazing, you know, online EP kits, and they're sending out CDs mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And if you say, oh, how many jobs have you played? Well, we played together once on stage last spring and once in the summer, and we're going to do this other big gig. And there's no substitute for stage experience. You can't make it happen, no matter how many weeks you practice. It's not the same as solid time on stage. So I think there's been a certain amount of distortion, because you can be computer literate and get your name out there, but of course, if you're not good, it's not going to last.
You see a lot of bands that will also put up half-finished songs now. They'll put up their practice sessions, which never would have been done years ago. That never would have happened, and they're not too shy about it. So they put it out there, and they can create a hype around their persona, try to endear them, their fans, to their personality or to who they are as individuals. And they actually, I believe, pay less attention to the music and more to the click of, you know, who they could be in if they're listening to this band.
Well, Renee, the established acts are doing the same thing, but it's crowdsourcing. They're putting out material for their fan base to tinker with and add to and so forth.
Oh, wow.
A lot of big name acts have done this. Now, speaking about being on stage, perish the thought, but could the new normal be what the example of a band like Guster has been doing recently, which is basically giving away free tickets to their shows? If you show up at the box office and have either a credit card, it's $2, or show up at the box office in person, you can get in to their shows for free. And you can go and check this out on their site. It seems amazing that they can pull this off at all, but that's been kind of the last bastion of commerce for a lot of artists, is charging admission for their shows. You know, maybe the albums, you know, they have to give those away or they're stolen or whatever happens to them. But is this a sea change coming? What's up with that?
Well, gee, I mean, years ago, bands used to start by playing parties and playing on street corners and everything else. So, like I said, the old normal might actually just be the new normal, with some wrinkles to adapt to the times and what people are expecting.
I think the new normal, what it's going to amount to, is it's going to amount to bartering. Like, you know, you show up to my show with a dozen eggs and we'll stamp your hand.
There you go.
Probably so.
That's pretty cool.
What do you think? Email us whatitis@wncw.org. The new normal, the changing times in music, and what you have to do to keep yourself in circulation. On WNCW, I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Renee Denton, Carol Rifkin, and Fred Mills. Until next time.